It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Transgender children and their families come up a lot in news and politics.
But in a new book, an Eau Claire writer shares the personal story of a family navigating transgender identity in real life.
Andrew Patry joins us. He's a high school English teacher and writer based in Eau Claire, and his new book is called Clumsy Love, A Father's Journey Parenting His Transgender Daughter. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
What moved you to want to share your story and your family's story in this new book?
I had self-published a collection of poems in 2006. And the last poem in that collection was a poem entitled Simon. And I remember writing that poem and thinking we were becoming aware of aspects of our child that did not sort of conform to, you know, the society's definition of what, you know, a young boy should be in terms of interests and things like that. And I remember talking with my wife at the time, thinking I feel like, you know, we're sort of on the cusp of something kind of kind of huge happening with our child here. And sure enough, it was within, I think, the year after that is when Simone had sort of came out to us as transgender. And our you know, all our lives kind of, you know, changed. And I started to document just in little writing pieces that I was doing at the time, some of these moments. I was at a writing retreat in Eau Claire, and the person kind of overseeing our cohort of nonfiction writers, but he just said that, I think you need to write this book and there's a larger story to tell here. And I had no idea how to do that, coming from, you know, just writing smaller pieces, poems, brief essays. And so he really became a mentor to me, and, you know, kind of helped me see the importance of telling this story. And so that's kind of how it began. This would have been in the end of the summer 2019.
What were you hoping that other families, maybe in a similar situation, would take away from you putting these stories on paper?
So I think what I was hoping, I mean, on the one hand, just to bring some humanity to an issue that's often, you know, politicized and caricatured, and just to kind of show, like, hey, here's one family's sort of response in terms of how they're dealing with this. And also to be kind of honest with, you know, it wasn't necessarily a smooth road of like, yeah, our kid's transgender, cool, let's just roll with it. That's hence the title of Clumsy Love. There were a lot of missteps along the way. So mostly on my part, but we were all kind of going through this together. And I think in, you know, at the time when she came out to us, there just wasn't a lot of resources that we felt we could turn to. I think there's a lot more now, which is great. And we were, my wife and I were late to the social media game. I don't think we got onto Facebook until 2012. And so I think that sort of became important to us, to, like, you know, maybe we document this stuff and, you know, maybe we can share it so it could help someone else.
And throughout the book, you talk about your efforts to relate to Simone's experiences so she felt understood, even though you didn't have the experience of growing up as a trans person. What kind of experiences, what kind of things did you do to try and bridge that gap, especially feeling, as you said, you know, isolated and not having a lot of role models, templates out there to work with?
So I'm an adopted child. So I think, you know, and I had was adopted when I was, I think, about a month old. And I'd always known that. My parents were always very upfront about that. That became a point of entry, I guess, to connect with Simone. For example, when I went looking for information about my birth parents, I discovered that, you know, for a very brief time, I had a different name. I was Kevin. And, you know, when I was adopted, my parents rename me Andrew. So obviously that's separate from, you know, Simone's wanting to change her name in the sense of, you know, because of, you know, the sort of masculine, right, the gender connotations of Simon and versus Simone. But it just felt like there was like a point of entry there in a conversation with her about that when the naming thing came up. But also too, just maybe a kind of empathy that I could have for you know, a kid who felt, maybe a bit different within her own family, because I certainly had felt that way at many times growing up. You know, I gained an appreciation for things my parents had done for me, which maybe at the time I didn't recognize. You know, for example, in the book, it talks about my dad being this really big on sports, and I kind of let him know at a young age that wasn't really for me. He didn't push that. Eventually he just sort of said, okay, you're this weird kid, you know, where can I meet you at? And, you know, he found a place to do that. And I didn't really appreciate that until I was much older, until Simone came into my life. And so that sort of informed some of the decisions, you know, I made too, about maybe letting like Simone kind of lead the dance, so to speak. Let us know, like, who are you? And trying to kind of meet her there, as opposed to saying, this is who we want you to be, and kind of forcing that. So
Andrew Patry is with us, English teacher and writer based in Eau Claire. We're talking about his new book. It's called Clumsy Love, A Father's Journey Parenting His Transgender Daughter. And his daughter, Simone, joins us now, a talented singer. She's an incoming freshman at Lawrence University. She'll double major in English and Spanish. Simone, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I got to ask, what went through your mind when you heard, okay, your dad's going to write a book about being your parent and about your childhood?
I think I remember the first thing I said being, can I get some money from it?
Very practical, yeah.
Yes.
And then, though, I would feel a little reluctant having a person write a book about me. What kind of things were you worried about or maybe excited about to have shared in the book?
I think a good thing to share is about my dead name. At first, I was really, really anxious about having that put out into the world. But as time kind of went on, I reframed my mind and I thought more about, like, this is kind of a reclaiming of that. And so I think I'm most excited for that piece of my life to be shared.
Simone, as your dad just mentioned, in the last maybe 5-6 years, there's been a lot of political talk about transgender people in schools, maybe in particular. What is important to you about sharing your own story rather than having people kind of bat your story and that of other transgender people around, like sort of a political football?
I think I want people to read the real stories from trans people, trans youth and their families, and maybe not reach immediately towards inflammatory news articles. And I want my story to help restore the humanity for trans people and trans youth, because especially right now in today's political climate, humanity has been stripped away from our community. But most importantly, I want my story to help the unseen feel seen. People who may have gone through something similar as I did, or people who may have experienced the complete opposite. For every trans and queer child who feels alone as I did, I want this story to be a blatant, glaring message to them that you are not alone.
Simone, something that struck me as your dad told the story anyway, you were clear from a very early age about your identity. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I tell people that in my mind, I knew I was a girl before people even started, like, categorizing me as a boy or dressing me up in boys' clothing. So when I was told, hey, boys go on this side, girls go on this side, I was like, why am I going on this side of the room? And so that was quite distressing for me and confusing. And it only got worse until I finally knew the word for what I was feeling. And that was, like, finally the moment that I felt freed and I was able to be my true self.
Andrew, you write about that, not necessarily, and you talked about it earlier, not necessarily picking up on those signs as early as you wished you had in hindsight.
Yeah, and I think, in some instances, we were probably just like, we're not even going to go there. That just seemed like transgender, just seemed like this whole other thing that we just were not willing to kind of confront until Simone, you know, kind of forced that. And I guess I just wanted to add one one thing to, because Simone brought up the dead name and obviously had her blessing to use that. There is a section, the first half of the book, it is Simone's dead name, so that when we get to the point where the name changes, I wanted the reader to kind of have to like adjust to that the way, you know, Adrian and I and you know, friends and family did. But I think important to say too that I wanted, this book is really meant to be my story as a parent. I don't want to try to tell Simone's story, although hopefully someday Simone will, you know, share her story too. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of be clear about that too, that I wasn't trying to tell her story for her. It's really mine, but she's a part of that story too.
Simone, the book wraps up as you're going into high school. Well, as we talk now, you're getting ready to head to college. Your high school years, what were some of the things, to follow up on the story your dad told, the things you encountered there, for better or worse, the positives and negatives as you experienced high school?
You know, I met so many amazing people. I joined choir, and there I found like a second family. So I made so many friends. I was able to join the a cappella group at Memorial High School and got to perform on the same competition that is seen on Pitch Perfect, which was really, really cool. Just last year, my senior year, I was able to perform a solo. So I got the spotlight, and it was like the best feeling ever. But I do remember my freshman year, I had some issues with people who I'd gone to elementary school with who knew my dead name. And this was during the time that my dad was still writing the book, I think. So I was still a little, you know, apprehensive about that. And they used to call my name, my dead name out every single day after school in the hallway. But I kind of just in that moment knew to reclaim it and just to feel empowered by it. And it soon did not affect me as much. But overall, my high school experience was amazing. It was very, very good.
Andrew, you share some difficult moments, discrimination from classmates and others. But throughout the book, though, you found in sometimes surprising places, you found very supportive people in your family and in the community. Can you talk about that side of things a little?
We were so fortunate to, as we were kind of going through this initially, to have our good friends, Rachel and Ari. And then at the time, they just had their daughter, Gita, who's just a year older than Simone. And they just connected at the right time. And they were so supportive, helping us through this. But I think, you know, and of course, my mother was an early champion of Simone. My dad, he was a little more mysterious in terms of how he was feeling about things. But, you know, he, in the book, it talks about how he, you know, shows up to the naming ceremony. But I was also like, one of the things, you know, in venturing out into that world, I think you'll see in the book that I was often just very skeptical of strangers. And I think, you know, part of my journey in the book is recognizing that I don't know if I'll ever be able to, you know, sort of let go of that suspicion of fellow human being, but that I'm learning to kind of rise above that, because it was often, like I said, proved wrong at many turns. My world got much more expanded through this. I'm glad you actually asked that question, Rob, because I feel like that it's easy to get kind of bogged down and all the depressing stuff happening, but to be reminded that there is a lot of light and kindness out there too.
Simone, your dad shared your story in this book, and of course his own story. What did you take away from it? What did you learn about your dad, maybe even about yourself, as he was writing this? And I assume you read at least some of it.
It was actually really interesting because a lot of the early book is from when I was so little that I don't really remember what happened. So reading it through was kind of like reading a different person's story that was also my story, and it was really weird. But I think reading through the book, it's been really, really healing to see my transness and my story kind of through the lens of my father, and to sort of remember all the stuff that I maybe tried to forget, maybe the negative things, but also there was so, so much positive support and love in my life that I didn't really know that was there. I think a specific one comes to mind is during my naming ceremony, my grandma, who came said, like, it's about time I have a granddaughter. And I never knew she said that. And that just kind of touched me so greatly, because I didn't know she felt that way at all. So it's been really cool to see how people, friends, family reacted to my transness that I didn't know.
I will leave it there. Simone, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Rob. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
That was Simone Patry, incoming freshman at Lawrence University, planning to double major in English and Spanish. Her father is Andrew Patry, high school English teacher and writer based in Eau Claire. Andrew wrote his new book, Clumsy Love, A Father's Journey Parenting His Transgender Daughter.